brewing is as much about the process as it is about the product. At its most satisfying, brewing creates a culture and a community that goes beyond beer geekdom to make deeper connections. It's about learning, sharing, and creating. It's a touchstone that can make people who've never met instantly friends. Beer with Strangers starts now.
Welcome to episode 93 of...
Oh, we're chasing 100.
I know, of Beer with Strangers. I'm your host, Tony Russo, and I'm joined this week, as I'm joined each week, by my co-host...
Doug Griffith.
That's him. How you
I
doing?
I can't believe 93. Man, we've been doing this...
Yeah, almost 2 years. Yeah. Coming up on 2 years.
We're chasing 100 mark.
Yeah.
And today's weather is rainy and windy. Not so much rain right now, but the wind still is blowing, and we've got cold weather coming again for this weekend.
Yeah, I've got – I actually had to go out and cover my fig trees.
I did.
It's very low rent, but I just put plastic bags over them, like – and I ran out of garbage bags, so I started using Walmart bags, and I tied like one Walmart bag over each bud because I have actual figs that are coming out now.
Yeah.
So we'll see what happens. I'll give you a weekly fig report.
Once the figs are formed, they're not maybe as susceptible to frost because, like the peach crop, they said the buds are what's susceptible, or the flowers.
Oh, right.
So well, you might be fine with once the fruit set.
Maybe, but I just have three of them, so.
Not much fruit so far.
I have seven trees and three figs.
Wow.
I'd like to have more.
So you got lots more blossoms on.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Actually, we just still have the – figs are weird because sometimes the blossom is just the fig, and sometimes first it blossoms. They don't flower.
Oh, okay.
They leave, and then the blossom is the fig. It looks like a little fig, and then it looks like a big fig, and then you eat it. It's not like a peach where there's a flower, and then the flower kind of falls off, and there's a peach in the flower.
But I know those figs really get nice and sweet late summer, and they're great.
Huge fan of figs. Hopefully we can have a fig party this year. All sorts of stuff to talk about. A couple little house cleaning things. We did our first two – promos this morning on Facebook. So let me know what you think of them. I'm probably going to do it every week, just like a little teaser. I don't know if I'm going to do it in the morning or if I'll do it the night before. Probably do it the night before, you know, have a couple beers and then be like, hey, this is what we'll be
in the mood.
Yeah. Make me a little bit more. And unfortunately, I can't take the red out of my face there as I do here on the podcast. But we did the Facebook Live on both Shorecraft Beer and Beer with Strangers, the podcast. Facebook page. So keep an eye out for that in the future. Also, we posted our second sub podcast this week with Tracy Huggins, who is the salesperson for Third Wave. And it was fine. It was cool to talk to her. I'm still working on the audio. I have to find a way to make it so you guys can hear my voice because the fan base. I've been told that my voice isn't heard very well. And I knew I couldn't hear it very well, but I didn't know if you guys noticed that or if I just noticed it because I was being sensitive because I love the sound of my own voice. But as it turns out, you're not really hearing me very well. So hopefully by the time I get it, my next interview organized, we'll have that.
So what, just not loud enough or just the tone of your voice is
loud? I'm not loud enough. It's an apparatus I use to record in my phone, and I don't think – that my phone is recording me. It's a reporter's thing. So it's really, if you're the reporter, you don't really need to hear yourself well. You need to hear the answers. You knew what the questions were. Yeah. So I think that it records me through, like, in this case, through her side of the phone rather than just directly into the phone. Yeah. But I was working on hooking up my phone. Actually, I worked on it last night, hooking up my phone to our recorder here. And if I can do that, then I think I'm going to get excellent quality.
Both sides.
And I'll get both sides and I'll do it just as we do the podcast. So those are all the little technical notes. technical notes for the evening. And I do want to start off with a little bit of homebrew news, some bad news and some good news. The bad news is no more stills.
Right. The state has told us to cease and desist selling stills, that it's illegal to sell a still. Well, actually, it's not illegal to sell a still. It's illegal to possess a still to sell. We can sell them, but we just can't possess them.
Right.
So it makes it tough to possess or sell if you don't have them. So.
And the real and desperate irony of that is my daughter really wanted to get one to start making essential oils because that's what she does in school. So, I mean, we'll probably arrange to.
I mean, it's a tough situation. What do you do? You don't like your daughter. She's not going to be distilling for alcohol purposes.
She really wants essential oils. Yeah, she really wants to. I mean, to be fair, she does it at UMES, like as her student job. She takes.
So they have a still there to use.
They have a glass one that she keeps breaking, and she's like, "Is there a metal one?" And I'm like, "Yes, as a matter of fact, there is."
But it's much smaller scale than what our still would be.
A little bit smaller scale. But she's really, it just captured her imagination, the idea that you could boil the flavor out of something and then boil the water out of it, you know, and just be left with the oil. So it's something that she's interested in. It is a shame. They're just barely passing, you know, laws that let you sell beer at, you know, at farmers markets and things like that in Delaware. So Delaware's got a long way to go. I think in 2 years you'll see my distilling in Delaware book. And we'll look more into that as I go through and find out the whys and wherefores of the law. That's the downside. The upside is if you already are in possession of a still and you want to know how to use it for essential oils and other uses, it's not illegal to talk about it yet.
Ray Baker, who has opened a distillery here in Southern Delaware just recently, is going to give a talk April 30th. That's Saturday, April 30th at 2:00. It'll be about a 2-hour presentation he's going to give on distilling, types of stills, and the process. So.
That's cool. And which is his distillery?
RJ Baker Distilling.
Oh, all right. Very well. Is that open to the public yet, or is it?
No, he can't. In his current state, he cannot have anybody come into the distillery. He hopes once he gets going that he can have a larger facility, which would mean public access, tours, and tastings on site.
Well, I've got to say, I've been to St. Michael's Eastern Shore Brewing, and there's a distillery right behind there that it's, you know, they're only allowed to be open from, you know, 10:00 to 10:15 on every fourth Tuesday or something. It's also hard to get into that. So it's just, you know, it's just the next step.
For Ray, it was where he was located, and that was part of his business plan, open up to sell spirits, but not out of the facility. It wasn't set up for, it doesn't have the access necessary to have the public come, but his plan was hopefully he would be successful enough in 2 or 3 years to be able to have a place that he could open up to the public.
Oh, so he doesn't have parking and things like that.
Right.
Oh, I see.
No parking available, no showroom, no, you know, bar or anything to. So the county said, you know, for this facility, you can't have anybody come. But then he didn't have to worry about access and what they have to put you through if you want to have people be able to come in.
Right. The health department for the glasses, for the tastings. I know that's a frustration is like, you know, you have to sanitize the glasses in a certain way
But not even that. It's just if you have a place, the road access has to be approved. Generally, they want to. Entrance, exit. He was telling me he was looking at a place a couple years ago, and it was just amazing what they wanted him to do to get the approval.
And do you know the size of his still? Do you know at what size?
I believe it's 25 gallons. He's got three stills, I believe.
Wow. And so 25 gallons is that's of the liquor he gets. He gets alcohol, 25 gallons of alcohol.
No. Oh. That's what he puts.
He puts water in.
He puts the mash in or the wash in.
Right.
And it gets about 5 gallons out. Now, that 5 gallons will probably, I think most of his are multiple runs. So he does a scrubber run. He pulls out the initial, then runs it again and gets something more pure out.
And so, and distilling is like brewing in that way. You go ahead and make a.
Every distiller is also a brewer because you have to brew. Generally, they are making beer. Just not hop for the most part. They make beer out of grains,
right?
Like a brewer would, and then they distill the alcohol that's produced after fermentation.
And the same thing, I guess, with brandy. I guess I don't know if brandy's on his list of things to do.
I think he can distill brandy. That's generally from washers or beer that's made fruit or basically wine.
Yeah, I just
and
would.
And you distill that.
If I had a still, that's what I would use it for. I would get really cheap wine and pour it through and get really cheap brandy.
Yeah.
When I have a cigar, I don't have cigars very often. I can't keep them in the house because then I find an excuse. I'm like, it's under, it's warmer than 40 degrees. I better go have a cigar. So I smoke them when they're around, so I don't keep them around very often. But when I do, I like to have a little brandy with them because I think the sweet is a nice counterpoint to the.
Do you inhale at all?
No.
Well, from what I've read, that's practically no more risk than what normal person is.
Right, yeah.
It's ever so slightly better, but if you inhale, then you got a 10% or something like that risk. Not near as bad as what cigarettes are.
Though. Right, yeah, no, it's just, I don't inhale into my lungs. I do inhale into my mouth. I do.
Yeah.
But tasty stuff. Anyway, so that's the home brewing section of this week. Make sure you check back and to check at Extreme Brewing because they do have a couple things coming up. They're getting ready to make some more announcements.
We've got our wine juices. You'll find them on the website now. This is from Chile this time of year. We anticipate them being here approximately the first week of May. So if you're interested in that, you can go out and order your juice right now. The reds and whites, you'll find it under Direct Vineyard Juices on our website. Or you can come in the store and make your request. We have a sign-up sheet for those wine or the juices you want. Also, we're talking about a brewing contest for wheat beers, and that will probably have sometime in June. So we're trying to give people a couple months to get things brewed. So we're trying to come up with a date for that right now. We've got to consider the homebrew convention, which is early June in Baltimore this year. So we've got to make sure we keep it away from that date.
Right. And that's always fun. I love to have that because you guys get together here and you do a tasting
right
as well. And that's always lots of fun there. The events here are always a blast. So when they're announced, come out if you can. And certainly come out on April 30th. I'm hoping to come out too and to just to see that talk because my daughter is probably going to come because she's fascinated by the idea. I was telling her we did a story a couple of weeks ago. Maybe a couple of months ago about a guy who goes to different places to brew. Like he goes and he contract brews at different breweries. Maybe it was Sean it was on. Yeah. Like he goes to Mexico and I was telling her about that. And she said that maybe she would like to do that with distilling where she goes to different
distilleries
and she distills while she's there. And then,
I guess they have set recipes. So anybody who knows what they're doing would be able to distill. And a lot of it is you're distilling what's already been pre-made. The alcohol's already in the wash. So you're just doing the distillation process.
Right. So anyway, so that's her. I mean, she's 24 years old. No, yeah. She's not even. She's 21. That's just her new hobby. She's doing well enough at it that she wants to do more. So it's very exciting for her. So we'll be here on the 30th. Or she'll be here if I can't make it, but you should come out. It'll be worth seeing. All right. So, and now to the news for the week. I got to switch over to the news page. First of all, on surecraftbeer.com, I've started a news page where I'm going to put like my top stories of the week for you guys to see. And these aren't stories that I've written. These are stories that other people have written. I follow all of the local breweries on Facebook and
Twitter.
Anymore,
there's lots of events going on.
Yeah, especially events, now that the summer comes up.
Beer releases, tastings, so quite interesting.
Right, and well, one of the fun things is like today, like if you're not watching it live, you probably won't make it. They have a release of Pangea from 2010 that they'll be opening up to share at Dogfish Head in Milton. And then on Friday the 8th, they've got a release of some of the 120-minute IPAs, which are always
– yeah,
they're always a popular beer for people to try. And then on Friday, of course, our friends at Third Wave also have a bottle release. This is specially brewed for Beach Liquors in Fenwick. And I'm really interested to see exactly how this is going to roll out, and hopefully we'll find out from them how it goes because I won't be able to make it there for the event. And then,
but you're so close.
Yeah, I really am. It's just Fridays are also a little kooky for me. Yeah, down by the beach. Also, we have coming up this. I think it's May. It could be late April. I haven't spoken with him yet, but our friend Jason Weisberg, the brewer at Esquimalt Bay, has started bottling, and they'll be up and running. They'll be up and running any second now. And our friends at Fordham and Dominion have partnered with their local distiller, and they provided the. I think that you know how you were saying it's made out of beer. I think that that's what they did. I think that they took a double D, which is their double IPA, and distilled a whiskey out of it. So I'm really interested in trying that, and I'll grab a bottle of that if I can. Those bottles go on sale on April 23rd at.
I heard another place is doing that. Beechcraft told me that they're getting a beer from somebody locally and going to be distilling it. So it may be a coming trend where you're going to get some of your input from your local brewery.
Well, and all right, and so think of it that way. We were just talking before about how brewers are distillers. Right. So. And just all distillers are also brewers. So, you know, think about maybe making a five gallon homebrew batch in your distillery as you're a professional distiller, and then using that to make your beer and kind of doing both. Right. I'm sure that's not unlike what they're doing at Dogfish.
But I think probably some of these smaller distilleries don't have the equipment to do a decent size mash. So they get it mashed and possibly boiled down to a lower quantity so that they can then go ahead and ferment it in-house, because at that point, transporting is no problem, because before it actually becomes an alcoholic beverage, you can transport it anywhere you want. There are no restrictions on
right. Yeah,
that.
Oh, that's movement. Cool. So you can because there's no.
It's not alcohol.
Right.
So there's no restriction.
So you bring it and you put the yeast in after you
right.
get it. So you're
exactly.
just bringing beer flavored water.
Exactly.
And then throw in the yeast.
It's just sugar water, basically. So
it's very cool. I would love to see how this goes, because I guess that's the other thing they use, a distiller's yeast. It was already a double IPA, which probably puts it in the 10% range anyway.
Which is normal for what the distillers are using. They're usually somewhere 8, 9, possibly 10%, but that's the normal wash for them.
And then they take that out. They take right. they up the alcohol by taking out
right.
the water and leaving some of the flavor and some
and
of the
that,
alcohol.
If it's a rye or a barley or any type of single malt, they could have a single malt done and by the brewery.
Same thing.
And then they take it and distill it.
Very cool. So all sorts of fun. The other thing, and we hope to talk to these guys in 2 weeks. Jason Weisberg is my tentative guest for the next sub podcast, but the next sub podcast, hopefully will be one of the guys from Fin City. They're getting ready to open up at Hooper's, which is where they do their local brewing. They do some contract brewing. They actually drive to Baltimore and brew at a brewery in Baltimore for their big runs, but they do their smaller runs right here out of Ocean City at Hooper's Crab House.
Right.
And so that opens Friday, which is today, if you're listening to it. I try to go through all of the breweries that have posted something recently. Backshire Brewing doesn't really post very often, but I didn't know that they had crowlers, and maybe you didn't either. If you don't remember, we did a show on crowlers, and crowlers are you take the can, you fill it with beer, you put a top on it, and it's good for pretty much ever for a long time. So you can get crowlers to go at Backshore. And then last but not least, we've talked about this a couple times. I talked to you about the pineapple
yes,
IPA,
yes.
right? But my story's up on the pineapple IPA, and it's doing pretty well. People like the story. So, and people like the beer, and that's very gratifying. The last two big.
You didn't have to bring us one so we could taste it.
I drank them all.
Oh man.
Those were mine.
Huh?
Yeah. That they
that
handed that
back.
To me. And I'm like, you know what? I'll have one and I'll bring the rest to Doug and Sean. And I totally did it. I totally didn't. We sat down and it was a nice evening. And I'm like, well, I'll have one. And then later on,
we'll have another.
I had what I call pizza poisoning, because I will admit that I overindulged. I had one and I'm like, and I put them away and I said, okay, well, let's go out. And so Kelly and I went down to Third Wave, and we spent too much time at Third Wave. And when we got home, you know, it's like Third Wave is a local brewery. And actually the post that I made on
Within Walking Distance.
Yeah, did you see that? Oh, no, that's exactly what I said. I said, for me, drink responsible means go to the brewery within walking distance. And so that's what I did. But then we got home and I had one of those post drinking thirsts, and I'm like, okay, we have to go ahead and drink the rest of these.
So the beer that we were supposed to sample
ended up. And the worst part is the hangover that I got wasn't from beer. It was from realizing I had too much beer, and we didn't have anything in the house that didn't require cooking, so we ordered pizza. And I don't eat pizza late. I ate a lot of pizza. I ate the whole pizza, but
hence the pizza poisoning.
And then I said I had pizza poisoning the next day because I was just miserable. And it was crappy. It was like Papa John's because it was like 2 o'clock in the morning. So we had to get Papa John's pizza, which is not my favorite. But they were open and they brought it to me, which were the two of the top. I wanted good pizza that could be brought to me and that was open. And they didn't have good pizza, but they were open and they brought it to me. And that was the problem. We got the pizza and I'm like, oh, we don't have any beer. So the pineapple had to go. Next time I get some, hopefully I'm going to do something. I'll get a test six pack of that transporter or something. And we can have a tasting of that. So that was the pineapple story that we talked about. And now let's talk about soda.
Soda?
Yes. Pop is down. Yeah. Do you want to do this story?
Sure. The report recently showed that the consumption of most of the Coke products, Pepsi products, and other Snapple and Arizona were
iced tea.
All down except for a few of the Pepsi products that came up just barely 3%. But looks like more so water is on the increase. But it's also possibly with all the breweries around
that there's more beer. There's
more beer being drank rather than sodas. And I think it's practically the same price for a lot of the I'll call it lower quality beers, but the mass quantity beers is about the same as what you pay for soda.
So. Right. Well, and the other thing is that Coca-Cola came to prominence after Prohibition because it had cocaine in it.
Which is long gone.
Right. But with the rise of Prohibition, you know, people got used to having something bubbly and something caffeinated, you know, something that wasn't water. And so we spent 100 years drinking soda, but now it certainly has to do with the sugar content, but I think it also has to do with the quality content. I mean, they just don't taste very good, you know, and people are drinking. I mean, they're on my diet. I drink water, coffee, and, you know, beer and wine and liquor, right? I don't bother with soda. I haven't for years and years and years.
And there's controversy whether the artificially sweetened stuff is good for you or not. Even the sodas that are naturally sweetened, it's all empty calories,
right?
No nutritional value. So, big push for more and more water.
And there was another recent report, and I mean this isn't bash Coca-Cola Day or anything, but there was a recent report about the caffeine, like artificial caffeine. Comes from China. Caffeine in your coffee comes from the beans.
Right.
But caffeine in your Coca-Cola and stuff, that's another
import.
Huh? Right. Well, yeah, not only that, but it's synthetic caffeine, I guess is what you'd call it. So it's made in China. And the only people who inspect the quality control in the Chinese factories are Coke and Pepsi. Like there's no health oversight, which is terrifying when you're talking about China.
Yeah, well, at least they do have their own inspectors there to inspect what's going on and what's in it, and hopefully that keeps the quality up.
Right, but I mean, I'm not going to miss it, but hopefully you're not going to miss it too much either. So that was the end. I guess lastly but not leastly is the Russian craft beer revolution, which we were talking about before we came on. Do you want to go over the details?
Yeah, the craft beer is on the upswing in Russia. The Soviets do drink a lot of vodka, and apparently there's bad health risks with
male
64, I think.
That's crazy.
Is the expected life expectancy of a typical Russian male. But they're talking about the upswing in craft beers becoming very popular. A lot of home brewers are starting to make craft beers. There's no real regulation. As long as you're only drinking beer, you don't need a liquor license. So it's very easy to open, especially in small batches. So,
right.
Apparently, there are a lot of beers made, but it's brewed quick, fermented quick, and sell quick. So it doesn't sound like the big traditional brewers have any real quality or good taste. So the craft beers are very much on the upswing. At one time, they had a lot of English breweries were selling, but sometime in the late 1800s, they were all told to get out, and I guess the vodka became the drink of choice at that time.
What's really cool about that is I'm hoping that eventually we'll start getting kvass exported. I remember that was it Jimmy Kroon? Right, I think it was Jimmy brought a bottle of kvass he made, which is Russian beer bread. Yeah. And that was so full and rich and tasty. And you know, if that's your traditional beer, you're not gonna put up with mediocre tasting right. beers, I think.
I know there was a friend of a friend who was looking at opening a brewery in Russia, but he decided he was from Europe and saw the trends for the craft beer becoming more evident in Russia, but he decided that he was going to open a place in Brazil, which is totally different. But the regulations and the graft were so bad in Russia, to get things open. So if you weren't a local person, it was almost impossible. You had to have deep pockets in order to get something open.
Right, and then there's when you're getting into brewing, which doesn't really have the margins that I think people think that it has, it makes sense to keep your operating costs or your opening costs down, because you never know how long it's going to take.
And then you don't know what the quality of the grains are, the malts. Are they going to have to be imported?
Right.
How about the hops? Who knows?
But on the upside, and something worth considering, is the relationship between home brewing and the appreciation of craft brewing. And that's something that I think gets lost, how involved homebrewers are in making craft beer a popular thing.
Yeah. And even those, I mean, we keep talking about locally, how many of the brewers or brewery owners now that are here near us were homebrewers at one time. So.
And so that does it on the news. I think we've got a couple more minutes left. I would like to talk about the third wave interview I did, in case you didn't get to hear it, because one of the exciting points that we didn't really touch on in the interview is that they're going to be opening they're going to open a patio up on third wave. Have you heard that?
Yeah.
And that'll be cool, because they're going to do they'll have like music and things like that, which will be a fun aspect of it. And last but not least, I think in 2 weeks there's a sour. Did you see that? There's a sour event coming up at the local Horn and Shell, which is in West Ocean City. And Third Wave and Burley, I know, are participating. I don't – several of the local places are. But I guess, is it sour season? That's essentially what I wanted to ask.
Well, Burley always has a sour.
They always have a sour, right.
In the springtime, they have their Sour Fest.
Right. So. But is it more popular to do sours in the springtime, or is it?
I don't know. I can't say for sure. I mean, but a lot of times I think they're stored over the winter and ready for release in the spring.
So they take a little longer.
Yes, they do take longer generally to brew and age.
And I guess that they do have in the wintertime, maybe sours aren't as. You know, you want one big warm beer, you know, as opposed to a bunch of a bunch of puckery ones. Because I guess peaches are in season, and you know, different apricot is in season. And as we were talking about with the,
but if you're using a natural, which means bacteria, to create that sourness, it takes a while for that sourness to become present in the beer. So mm-hmm. It takes time for, and usually they're put in the barrel and barrel aged.
Very cool.
So,
And I think that is going to do it for us for this week. And just hitting again on the events, we have the April 30th here.
April 30th is just going by Ray Baker.
And now, when is your? Do you know when you have another wine class? Do you have another wine class coming up?
Usually now we stop doing them
because in the summertime
request because people have we find people have so much more going on and. We just do them by special request, both the beer and the wine.
Now, if one were to get into doing wine, is it better to start? Like, is it unwise to buy juice and start wining and start doing wine that way?
Either way, whether you do it by kit or juice, which we have imported this time of year from Chile, they're both very easy to do. We've got good instructions. The juice is a little bit more. It's artistry because you have to decide when you want to, how much oak you want to put in, if you want to put oak in. But the juice, for the most part, you add the yeast and it ferments.
Oh, wow. So it comes in a 5 gallon and how?
Six gallon bucket.
And does that make?
About 30 bottles.
So what you'd have to do is, can you ferment it in the bucket or do you have to put it in a cardboard?
Yes, ferment it right in the bucket.
That is crazy. So you get the bucket, you open the top, you throw some yeast in. You put a little bubbler on the top, and that's it.
It ferments, and generally about in 2 weeks, you move it to a carboy for clarification and further aging or oaking.
And so that you put the oak in after it's done fermenting.
Generally, yes.
Very cool. So,
and as we always say, drink what you like and be happy.
All right, thanks.
Have a great week.
Beer with Strangers is recorded at Extreme Brewing in Laurel, Delaware. For more information about the show and for beer news and commentary, visit stateofthebeer.com, where you can also subscribe to the show on iTunes and follow along on whichever social network you're least likely to ignore. Thank you for listening, and we'll see you next week. The State of the Beer is strong.